Blog Talk Radio.
The views expressed in this commentary are not necessarily those of the Ron Kelly Show or R. Kelly Media LLC.
Right.
At
6:15.
You are about to be entertained by the eighth, the young man who has become a legend in his own time.
Okay, I'm like, I never heard of this group.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
It's the Ron Kelly Show.
So don't get it twisted.
All right, what's up, everybody? Good evening. It's still light outside. Good evening, everyone, and welcome. It's the Ron Kelly Show, weeknights, 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com. And on the web, it's the Ron Kelly Show. Now, listen, now we'll stay on Facebook for the first – stop that. We'll stay on Facebook for the first 30 minutes, Facebook Live, the first time we're trying this, and then we'll go to – our normal place where we usually are, Periscope. Shout out to my Periscope peeps out there. And shout out to everybody on Facebook who's watching and listening to the Ron Kelly Show. Shout out to my boy Lamont Gates, my partner in crime, the unflappable one, Lamont Gates, who is a talk radio personality in his own right. Shout out to him and everybody else who's participating in the Ron Kelly Show. All right, 81 million people. 81 million people. That's how many people watched the debate last night. We're going to break it down. I'm going to talk to you about the debate last night. And also, you know, we're going to talk also about the incident that happened where one of the Trump surrogates made a mention that there was no racism until Obama became president. And, you know, and we're going to take a look tonight at some of the things that the GOP says about black people. Now, are we mad because they're right, or we are mad because they're insensitive? We're going to talk about that because, you know, a lot of things, there are some things that the GOP says, while they might be insensitive and this, that, and the other, but they do have a point in some of the things that they say. We're going to talk about that as well. Okay, let me get you hooked up here with the phone number here to the station. It's 646-668-2838. That's 646-668-2838. Or you can go to my Facebook page. It's The Ron Kelly Show, and you can hit me up over there. And also Twitter, it's R. Kelly Show for all my Twitter fans out there. All right, everybody, thank you so much for joining us once again. The Ron Kelly Show, weeknights from 7 to 8 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com. Now, those of you, now, if you were part of the 81 million who took part in watching the Trump-Hillary debate, I got to tell you, I watched it, and, you know, Trump, it just will be Trump. But I want to hear from you guys. 646-668-2838. That's 646-668-2838. This is the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. We'll be here every weeknight, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m. right here at blogtalkradio.com until we move on to other bigger and better things. But for right now, let's talk a little bit. Also, I forgot to tell you one more other thing. We're going to talk a little about the shooting in North Carolina because, you know, there's a still photo of a gun on the ground right by Mr. Scott's body. But the cell phone video that the family released in that exact same spot, there's no gun. So now you see it, now you don't. Who's doing what here? We're going to explore that a little bit later on in the show. Once again, you can go to my Facebook page. It's the Ron Kelly Show, the Ron Kelly Show, and you can post your comment there if you don't want to call the program. But if you do want to call the program, it's 646-668-2838. That's 646-668-2838. Feeling pretty good this afternoon. Shout out to all my motorcycle peeps out there. Everybody who's driving now, watch out for your motorcycle people out there. Now watch out for your motorcycle peeps, because because I'm a motorcycle enthusiast. I love riding my motorcycle, and you know, I'm shout out to all my motorcycle my biker buddies out there, and let you guys know who drive cars, like, watch out now. Just take your little time and watch out. All right, so the debate took place last night. 81 million people watch the program. And actually, here in the New York metropolitan area, the debate did better than the New York Giants Super Bowl. The last time the Giants were in the Super Bowl didn't come close to the ratings from last night. They scored a 55 in the New York metropolitan area when the Giants played last time. The Giants played in the Super Bowl, they only scored a 39. So 81 million people watched that debate, which I said there was going to be a huge audience, and so a lot of the other pundits who said that as well. Now, let's get down to the nitty gritty. Now, first of all, I watched a lot of the pundits and people who were talking about it afterward and earlier today, and I think the general consensus was that whoever was watching. Whoever's supporting Trump, I should say, are still supporting him. And the people who are supporting Hillary Clinton are still supporting her. Now, the whole idea behind these debates, actually, it should be between the two candidates, is that to get the people who are on the fence, the people who haven't decided, the people who haven't decided who they want to vote for. Now, I'm not a fan of either one of them. I'll tell you right now, I'm not supporting Hillary. I would rather see Hillary in there than Trump. I would rather see Hillary as president than Trump, but I don't believe, I'm not excited by either one of them, like most of the country, where they are probably the most unliked candidates in the history of presidential politics right now. And so I'm not a fan of either one of them, but I would much rather see Hillary there as president than Trump. Now let's talk about what happened last night. Now, Trump did pretty good in the beginning. I have to admit, Trump did very well in the beginning, and he did well, you know. But the one problem I have with Trump is this phony, this phony black folks, you know, his phony concern he has with black folks. Now, most everybody knows that back in the 70s, Trump and his father Fred, good old daddy Fred Trump, were sued for racial discrimination. Now, Trump crowed last night that they settled the suit and didn't have to admit guilt. I mean, right there, you're admitting guilt. So I have a problem with Trump and his phony that he's so concerned about black folks. He wants to bring back stop and frisk. And he said it last night that he wanted to bring back stop and frisk. Now, we all know that stop and frisk is I wouldn't say it was racially motivated, but I will say that stop and frisk targeted black folks, because we were the most affected by stop and frisk, black people. And so now Trump is trying to bring it back, and he has a little code word that he said last night, law and order. Now, we all know what that means, law and order. That means that you're going to have every kind of law enforcement officer there is marching through black communities and trying to straighten things out. Now, he did bring he did have a couple of good points. With when he talked about the economy and Trump always, I'm going to talk about Trump for a second. Trump always scores big with the economy. Now, people have this idea that, you know, that Trump is such a great businessman that he can straighten out the economy and all this. Now, we don't know what kind of businessman Trump is, because hasn't released his tax returns. So we don't know what kind of businessman Trump is. It could be all phony, and Hillary did seize upon that yesterday. But, you know, Trump, after looking at that debate last night, Trump is a scary character to me, you know, and I just can't understand why. Let me put it like this. On one hand, I do understand that people want change. I get that. You know, they want change. I want change, because I'm tired of paying all these taxes and giving most of my check to the government every week. So I want change. And there's a lot of things that the GOP talk about that I agree with. Smaller government, less taxes, less entitlements, because entitlements are killing us. Welfare, food stamps, WIC. Now, I'm not saying that they should cut it off, but what I'm saying is that there are people who need it. So I'm not saying that they should stop it, but they should tone it down a little bit and make sure that there's not such waste. Because there's a lot of waste in entitlement programs. Okay, so, you know, so Trump comes on last night, and and Hillary is kind of, and he breaks out pretty good. I thought Trump did a pretty good job in the beginning, but you know, see, Hillary was able to bait Trump, and Trump took the bait. Now, because there's certain things, and, you know, Hillary, like, for example, when Hillary said, when Trump told Hillary, well, he said to Hillary that she had stayed home because he was joking about her staying home preparing for the debate. She said, yeah, I'm prepared, and I'm prepared to be president. That was a shot, you know, Hillary took, and, you know, and it worked. So, you know, I think that you know, you have to be careful. You know, I mean, I'm hoping everybody goes to the polls, but you have to be careful now. What has, because you have to, you know, because I've been saying, what are the Democrats, and see, I know some Democratic, some people, some elected officials who are Democrats, but you have to ask yourself, like, what has the Democrats done for black folks lately, you know? And it does seem to me like black people automatically vote Democratic instead of voting, you know, Libertarian or Green Party or Republican. Black folks traditionally vote Democratic. And so what's happened is the Democrats have taken for granted, you know, our vote. I believe Democrats have taken advantage of us, and they haven't done anything for us, and they do take our vote for granted. So black folks have to get it together, and we have to come together, which, you know, we have to come together, and we have to try to make the Democratic Party accountable to us. We have to try to make them do what we need them to do. It's about 13 minutes past the hour, everybody. The phone number is 646-668-2838, 646-668-2838. This is an experiment here. We're going to be doing a show weeknights, every weeknight at 7 p.m. It's the Ron Kelly Show from 7 to 8, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. A little bit later on in the program, we're going to talk about some of the things that the GOP says. Because, you know, because that lady, I'll touch on it for a second, that lady was talking about, the Trump operative was saying that it's been 50 years since the Civil Rights Act, and black folks are still where they are. And you know what? I mean, she has a point. And a little later on in the program, we're going to talk about this. And we're going to talk about how some black leaders are taking on positions, you know, that kind of sugarcoat what black folks are doing. You see, I understand that Reverend Al Sharpton is on his way, and I respect Reverend Al. Reverend Al Sharpton is on his way to Tulsa for a rally. But nobody's rallying in Chicago. Nobody's rallying in New York. Nobody's coming to Paterson, New Jersey, for example. There's been 14, 15 murders. Nobody's showing up, you know. And every time a police officer kills a black person, everybody were up in arms. But when a black person kills another black person, a black-on-black crime, as they call it, nobody says anything. So what's up with that? We're going to talk about that, too, because there are some things that white people say about us that is true. You know, there are some things that is true, you know, and we have to get together with that. Absolutely. I'm looking on the screen here, and see, that's the other thing too. And we're falling for that. You know, I'm referring to the screen here. One of my listeners was why we are falling for that, because, you know, I've always had a problem with us feeding people. You know, I've always had a problem with that, you know, personally, going out feeding people, you know, because if you feed a person and now what, you know, and see, we go out here and we feed people, and then we put it on Facebook, and we break our arms patting ourselves on the back that we fed somebody. But the people are going to always constantly be in need. The people are always going to constantly be in need. So we have to stop. I'm not going to say we shouldn't feed people, but we have to learn how, and thank you, Mark, we need to learn how to teach people how to fish, not just give them a fish, because if you give somebody a plate of food, it's going to satisfy them for that moment. But what about later on? What about a couple of hours later? You know, the people are still going to be hungry. So we need to start teaching people how to take care of themselves. because just feeding people, you know, it's like stray cats. Feeding is going to come back. So we keep feeding people, feeding people, feeding people. And I'm diverting everybody to the Facebook, because we're on Facebook Live right now. We'll probably go to the other Periscope in a little while. But black folks are, you know, we do need to start facing the facts that we are causing harm to ourselves. You know, I was listening to Reverend Al today. He had Andre Eggleston was doing the show for him. And you know, people are still coming up with this title. We need to boycott. We need to take the money out the white man's mouth. We can't take the money out of white man's mouth because we don't have any unity. Black folks are too busy kicking each other in the back, talking about each other, liking certain people. Oh, don't say this, don't say that, because this person is a ward council person, or this person has a political affiliation, so we don't say nothing. And a lot of the things that go on in the black neighborhood are being sugarcoated, and many of these black leaders are taking these popular positions and not telling people the truth. The truth is that black folks, we are hurting ourselves in as much as anybody. We're hurting ourselves as much as anybody. White folks have done nothing to us compared to what we're doing to ourselves, you know, point blank. And this is part of the problem here. You know, we it's just ridiculous how we are right now, how black folks are right now. There's no unity, or very little unity, and nobody is you know, we're not helping each other, because you're not helping somebody by feeding them. That doesn't help them. You're not feeding them. I mean, by feeding them, you have to help people, teach people how to eat. We have to teach people how to get themselves together. We need to teach them how to get a job, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, and then there's some black folks. Now, you can walk down Broadway in Patterson, or Monticello Avenue in Jersey City, where I'm from, or Springfield Avenue in Newark, there's a lot of black folks who just don't want to do nothing. You know, many of our people just don't want to do nothing. You know, and that's the problem, too. Like, apathy, we're all satisfied with the status quo, and nobody really wants to do anything. And that's part of the problem as well. So we need to, you know, these people, the GOP and these people who talk about us are not wrong all the time. I mean, these people are not wrong all the time. And there are some things that black folks can do to get ourselves together. It's like I said, when a black person gets killed by a police officer, oh, Facebook lights up, Twitter lights up, and I'm part of it. You know, I've done it myself. But when somebody gets killed in the neighborhood, 15 people in Patterson, New Jersey, it's not far away from my farm, not too far away from where I'm at. I'm in Montclair, you know, and people are getting killed in Patterson, New Jersey, for example, like every other day. Nobody's rallying. Nobody's out there running around. Nobody, you know, it's just because black folks have, you know, there's a Chinese restaurant on every corner. And I'm not saying nothing about Chinese people, but there's a Chinese restaurant on every corner. You can walk through an urban or I don't want to say ghetto neighborhood. You can walk through a black neighborhood and there'll be like 15 Chinese restaurants, and they all are getting business. Every Chinese restaurant you see in a black neighborhood, they're doing well. We complain, we sit back, oh, they come here. Who allows them to come here? We allow Chinese people, I don't want to say Muslims, but we allow outsiders to come into our community and make money. And all we do is we go to the Chinese restaurant, we go to the chicken place, you know, get two pieces and an order of fries and go home, you know, and then we sit back and complain about people who have taken over the neighborhood. We allow people to take over our neighborhood, and that's why they've taken over the neighborhood, you know. So we need to get this together. Now, this election is very important, and we can't allow Trump to be it's the lesser of the two evils. This is the choice that you have this time. It's the lesser of the two evils between Trump and Hillary. And because Hillary is not much better than Trump, you know, the only way Hillary scores with me personally is her experience. Now, Hillary's been, she was a first lady for 8 years. So she was right there with her husband, former President Clinton, when he was president. She was right there. She was a senator for two terms. She was a Secretary of State. So she has a lot of experience as compared to Trump, who has no experience. So as far as this election goes, Trump is a horror story waiting to happen. But Hillary is not much better than Trump, but the only thing that gets Hillary over is her experience. You know, Hillary has experience, so that's what gets her over, you know. So last night, now, if you watch the debate, you know, it was – nobody talked about – neither one of the candidates talked about yeah, you're right, Mark. If you vote for Hillary, you're voting for Bill, right, because he's going to be the president. But neither one of the candidates talked about substances. They just were shooting shots at each other. They didn't talk about the issues, you know, and especially the issues that affect black people. And Trump, with his phony concern for black people, just, you know, it's just so ridiculous. He's saying that black folks, what do we have to lose by voting for him? Yeah, we got a whole lot to lose. We got our lives to lose, I think, because what's going to happen is the mandatory sentences are going to come back. Stop and frisk is going to come back. All these things are going to come back if Trump becomes president. Now, he did catch Hillary out there last night when he talked about that super predator thing. And some of you remember Hillary back in the day calling young black criminals super predators. And he did catch her out there. Now, she didn't say nothing because he had her, you know. But this election is very important. These debates are very important. We need to watch these debates because this is a problem for us. I doubt highly, seriously, if there's going to be any trickle down here, you know. But these debates are important. Even though you got two candidates who are the most unlike people in the world, you know, it's Hillary. Nobody trusts her, and nobody likes Trump. So both of them are equally unliked. So I'm reading a post on the Facebook post from Steve, and you're 100% right, Steve, that the fact that Trump is a major party candidate is like unbelievable, because there are a lot of people out there who like him with his racist nonsense that he talks about, sending people back home, sending the Mexicans back home. What he said about ISIS, he's going to blow the hell out of them. See, that's not the kind of talk you should do. And see, and then last night, he crowed about not getting convicted or settling the case out of court where him and his father were sued by the Justice Department for racial discrimination. And then when Hillary made mention of his taxes and said he's probably hiding his tax returns because he doesn't pay any taxes, he said, that's because I'm smart. You know, so, I mean, yeah, he's smart because he dodged the draft, and now he's not paying taxes. So, yeah, he must be pretty smart. But see, this is it's scary I'm not that afraid of Trump. Trump doesn't scare me, but the fact that there's millions of people out there who like Trump, millions of people out there who want him to be president, that is the scary part, that there are a lot of people out there who want Trump to be president. So all right, so what are we going to do? We're going to take we'll take a quick break, everybody. We'll come right back with more. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com.
We'll be back with more of the Ron Kelly Show after this.
So coming to the stage is a really funny guy. Y'all know him. Put your hands together. Give it up for George Wilborn.
Well, why won't we go to the doctor? My uncle calls, speech all slurred, complaining his arm's numb. He calls everybody under the sun, Aunt Peyton, his old army buddy George. He even called my daughter Tierra, because, you know, she's got a year of nursing. Everyone thinks he needs to go to the doctor, including me. So he said, well, will you take me? I'm like, I'm on the road. He goes, I'll wait. Stroke's no joke. If you or someone you love have symptoms of stroke, don't call family. Don't dial a friend. Don't wait. It may be too late. Dial 911. Time loss is brain loss. Seriously, dial 911.
Learn all the symptoms of a stroke at strokesnojoke.org. That's strokesnojoke.org. A public service announcement brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Your bathroom break is over.
Here we go!
Welcome back.
Really?
Now I can do what I planned to do this morning.
The Ron Kelly Show. And on the web, theronkellyshow.com.
All right, we're back. It's the Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com. The phone number here is 646-668-2838, 646-668-2838. It's the Ron Kelly Show, everybody. Weeknights, 7 p.m. right here on blogtalkradio.com. You can go to the App Store and get the free Blog Talk Radio app. So if you're not home, if you're out and about, you can go to the App Store and you can download the app, Blog Talk Radio app for the Ron Kelly Show. And also, there's a archive here. You just go to blogtalkradio.com/Ron Kelly Show, and you can listen to the shows. Not just these last couple of shows that I did since I've come back to Blog Talk temporarily, but the whole, I think there's like 90 shows in the archive that you can check out, going back all the way to 2014. All right. Thank you so much for joining me, everybody. It's Tuesday, the day after the debate, and nobody won. You know, because what has happened is, you know, they did have these little focus groups. And what a focus group is they have like 20 people in a room, and they all tap on this thing. Yes, no. Oh, I like what they're saying. I don't like what they're saying. I mean, I don't really believe in it. I think it's nonsense. But they have these focus groups. And what the focus group people were saying, basically, that there was no substance to the debate. They didn't talk about issues that affected not just black people, but people all across the country, which was true, that there was nothing, you know, it was more about, you know, Benghazi and with Trump, you know, it would have been the Trump Foundation if Trump would have mentioned the Clinton Foundation. So they just, you know, Trump was unprepared. Trump was totally unprepared, while Hillary was very prepared. And like I said, she has the upper hand because she's been a senator, she's been a first lady, and she's been the Secretary of State, traveling around the world, meeting people, solving problems. So she has the upper hand as far as foreign policy and how the government works. She's clearly in the lead when it comes to that. But Trump, there are some people who think that Trump would be better for the economy because everybody thinks he's a billionaire. Now, is he a billionaire? I mean, who knows? Maybe he's not. But people are liking Trump. And what I said before the break was that Trump, people who it's scary that there are millions of people, not just a handful, but there's millions of people out there who like Trump. Now, yeah, and they did talk about the they did make mention of the cyber attacks that's going on. And I tell you, there was what happened with Yahoo happened a couple of years ago, where there were 500,000 or 500 million people's passwords and email addresses, et cetera, were stolen from Yahoo. This happened a while ago, at least a year and a half ago, but Yahoo was just coming out with it. So we had this thing that, and also some of the election computers and elections in different states have been tampered with as well. So we have that going on. They didn't talk too much about that yesterday. We're probably going to hear more like as the debates go on, because you got the next one, and the next one is coming up pretty soon. It's going to be in St. Louis, and then there's a third one, and also the vice presidential debate was coming up too, between Pence and Tim Kaine. There's only going to be one of those. I need to let you know that the Ron Kelly Show is brought to you by BurkheadPromotions.com. Go to BurkheadPromotions.com for all your promotional needs. All right. It's about half past the hour, everybody. Once again, the phone number 646-668-2838, 646-668-2838. Okay, let me go to my Facebook page here while I'm sitting here. the Facebook page for The Ron Kelly Show is The Ron Kelly Show. And you can tweet me on Twitter for those folks who are Twitter fans out there. You know, and what's happened with Twitter is either you're a Facebook person, you're a Twitter person. And Twitter people and LinkedIn people think the Facebook people are ghetto. You know, sometimes I make a statement on LinkedIn and they'll say, oh, why don't you go back to Facebook? Like, you know, like Facebook is the hood or something, you know, of the hood of the cyber world. But I want to thank everybody for joining me today. We'll be back tomorrow, 7 p.m. right here for another edition of the Ron Kelly Show. So in my estimation, I don't think that anybody won, and, you know, and it doesn't matter who's the president. It's up to us, because, you know, unless you've got $50,000 to sit down and eat dinner with Obama or whoever, you know, you're not going to see, if you can't get the ear of the president, you're not going to get anything. And so we're going to have to take care of ourselves. Now, as far as the debate is concerned, I think Hillary won it, but she didn't change anybody's minds. You know, I don't think she changed anybody's mind, because as poorly as Trump did, the people who support Trump still support Trump. So that's the way that's going to be. But as far as the who won, who lost, I would say that Hillary won on point, but, you know, but she didn't score any points with the people who don't like her. You know, now this Ohio, the Ohio Trump campaign chair, Kathy Miller, says there was no racism before Obama. And I promised everybody I would talk about this. She said the Black Lives Matter movement was a stupid waste of time, and said low African-American voter turnout could be due to the way they're raised. Due to the way we're raised. I wonder what she meant by that. Now, Donald Trump's campaign chair in a prominent Ohio county has claimed there was no racism during the 60s, right? So those water hoses and those big German shepherds, they were sicking on us, and the murder of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. was all a hoax, right? And said Black people who have not succeeded over the past half century, but she went on to say Black people who have not succeeded over the past half century only have themselves to blame. Now, let's take a look at that for a minute now, because, you know, see, there are things that the GOP says. You know how somebody says something to you, somebody says something to you to try to hurt you, but it actually helps you. Well, this is a classic case of that, because there are some deficiencies in the Black experience in America, where we are not taking advantage of what this country has to offer. Now, yes, there's you know, there is racism in banking and housing and finance and all kinds of stuff. There's racism, true indeed. But what has happened is we've allowed that to make us feel like we can't, you know, that we're not going to make it because Trump is, because the system is just against us. So a lot of folks use that just not to do anything. It's like some of us are lazy. Some of us just really don't want to do nothing. I mean, I'm not just talking about Black people in general. I mean, in particular, I'm talking about Black people in general and across the racial spectrum. But there are some of us who just are lazy and don't want to do nothing. And we have to stop sugarcoating what's going on in the Black community. We have to stop sugarcoating what's going on with our people. And pointing the fingers and blaming the white man, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Because the white man is not wholly responsible for why Black folks are not doing well in America. You know, it's not all the white man's fault. But we're allowing that to affect us in such a way that we won't even get up to the plate and take a swing. You know, we don't even want to try, because we're allowing this white man, you know, got us by the throat mentality. The white man's got his foot on our neck. We're allowing that mentality to stop us from not even trying to do anything. So there is some truth to what this lady's saying. There is some truth to it, because, you know, there are some Black leaders who have taken a popular position of, it's the white man's fault. It's the white man's fault. They've taken that position because it's popular. and it makes them popular. Like Reverend Al Sharpton, for example, I have a lot of respect for Reverend Al Sharpton, but he's taking that position now. He's got a radio show, he's got a television show, and you know, one of the leaders, the black leaders that I respect more than anybody is Minister Louis Farrakhan. Now, I have no intention on being a Muslim, but I love to listen to Minister Farrakhan when he talks about when he talked about the president, for example, that Obama doesn't have a legacy in the black community, which he doesn't, because you know the president didn't, and I understand why he didn't, but the president didn't help black folks the way we expected him to help us, you know, by changing some of the laws and you know, I mean, yeah, he did release some people, he did give some people amnesty, and whatever you want to call it, he paroled a lot of people who were jailed under the Mandatory Minimum Sentence Act, and he did let a lot of people out of jail. But the president doesn't have a legacy as far as black folks are concerned, and I was listening to Minister Farrakhan talk about that, that the president doesn't have a legacy with us. But there are some black folks, black leaders, who have taken a position because it's popular. It's popular to say it's the white man's fault. It's popular to say, subscribe to the old myth that people come here and get money. People do not come here and get money. Let's just dispel that myth right now. People, different Indians and different ethnic groups do not come here and get a check. They do not. And see, we allow these things to get into our heads, these, oh, the white man's against us, oh, there's racism, oh, there's this, oh, there's that, I'll never get ahead. And we've allowed that to sink into our brains where we just stop trying. Black folks have really, like, stopped trying. I'm not saying across the board. There's a lot of us out here who are all trying to do the right thing, myself included. But we have allowed this mentality of the white man is the enemy and all of this to stop us from trying to do anything, you know? So what has happened is this, she resigned. She said she was sorry. I mean, yeah, right. You said it, you can't be sorry. But when she said, if you're black and you haven't been successful in the last 50 years, it's your own fault. You had every opportunity. And we have had a lot of opportunities. We have had a lot of opportunities in America, and we're not taking advantage of them. There are some things that we are doing again to allow this white man. I can't make it because of the white man thing. It's in our brains now, and we're not taking advantage of what America has to offer. You know, this has to change. This has to change. Is not going to help black people. You know, Trump is making a weak attempt to try to convince us that he's concerned about us. We all know that Trump has no concern for black folks whatsoever. You know, but we're going to get to that. We're going to talk about a little later on in the program. I want to talk about this North Carolina shooting. I was going to move on to Periscope. I think I will move on to Periscope in just a few minutes. I want to talk about this in North Carolina shooting that happened recently. Mr. Scott, who was murdered by a black police officer. And this is something that has to stop, but black folks has to stop too. I don't know if any of you've seen the cell phone video that the family released, but that cell phone video shows at the end of that video, you can see that there's no gun where there's a still photo that the police released where it shows a gun right near the feet of Mr. Scott where he went down. But on the cell phone video, there is no gun. So there's something going on here. There's something, you know, something's not right here. And we're going to talk about that in a little while. Once again, the Ron Kelly Show is sponsored by Burkhead Promotions. Now, if you have something coming up, you have a wedding, a bar mitzvah, or a family reunion, you need T-shirts, pens, bags, whatever, pencils. You may be running for election. You need some promotional material. You can go to my buddy Jeremiah Burkett at Burkett Promotions. Just go to BurkettPromotions.com. Everything he has is laid out there for you. He's reasonable prices, made in America, good quality materials, not the cheap stuff you get from overseas. You check him out, Jeremiah Burkett at BurkettPromotions.com. All the information is there. The phone number is there. Everything is there for you to take advantage of that. Okay, it's about 19 minutes before the hour. You're listening to The Ron Kelly Show, or you're watching The Ron Kelly Show, and it's on blogtalkradio.com temporarily. Temporary home here at blogtalkradio.com. Shout out to all my people who have stuck with The Ron Kelly Show over the centuries. thank you. I appreciate it. For watching the show or usually on the radio, but now I'm not usually on TV or this live thing, like they say, but... yeah, so what's happening? So we need to get away. We need to get away from this white man, I can't do nothing because of white man mentality. We need to get away from that, because what has happened, once again, it's permeated our thinking, our psyche, and now, you know, everywhere you go, if you talk to five people, two of them might say, you know what, the white man has stopped me from doing this, the white man has stopped me from doing that. And all it is an excuse. It's an excuse not to do anything. So we need to stand up, you know, and we need to because if black folks would get together and be cohesive for 24 hours, we could change this whole world. We could change America. But we're too busy kicking each other in the back and talking about each other and arguing over who's going to run. We get put together an organization. Now we got to fight over who runs it. Favoritism, all kinds of stuff going on. So we need to stop with this. White man is, you know, the enemy, and I can't do nothing without, you know, because the white man is stopping me. The white man is not stopping us from doing anything. We can do what we need to do, because white folks are really not even thinking about us. You know, we can do what we need to do. If we can get together and do what we need to do, we can clean up our neighborhoods. You go through the neighborhoods, it looks like, you know, some of the neighborhoods in Aleppo in Syria, you know, just destroyed. Like there was some shells or bombs went off, you know, and this is what our neighborhoods look like. And nobody came into our neighborhoods and did that. All of this nonsense about drugs, you know, they're bringing drugs into the neighborhood and all of it. I mean, come on, stop with this nonsense. We need to stay away from that. You know, I think that if we pull ourselves together, we can do a lot. You know, we can do a lot. But standing around complaining about it is not going to help. All right, the phone number here at the station. I'm sorry, I missed a couple of y'all who called into the show. I'll pay more attention to the board. 646-668-2838, 646-668-2838. If you're watching on Facebook Live, you can make your comment there like many of you did. Thank you. And also, you can go to the Facebook page of The Ron Kelly Show, or you can tweet me. And I have my Twitter up here right now. So if you want to tweet me, you can do that too. In fact, a couple people have. I'll read these tweets in a second. And you can do that too. But yeah, as far as the Democrats are concerned, once again, we do need to we do need to hold the Democrats' feet to the fire, because we are and I'm not saying across the board Democrats take our votes for granted, but there are some who do, and Hillary Clinton may be one of them. But once again, because she is the best candidate, she has most experience, she's not going to get us blown into smithereens. You know, I'm going to vote for Hillary. Now, do I support her necessarily? Am I thrilled about her? No, but I am going to vote for her because, you know, she's the best alternative to a Trump presidency, which would be a disaster for us all. And you know, thanks to my little sister. My little sister is posted something on Facebook. Thank you, sis. I'll talk to you soon about what's going on in our communities, and we really do need to, you know, get it together. You know, and I know a lot of people are not gonna like this. I saw the viewership kind of drop when I started talking about what black folks need to do themselves, and I expected that. But you know, we do need to get it together. We do need to come together as a people, and do the things we need to do. Okay, now the shooting in North Carolina. I'm gonna talk a little bit about that. This is not the easiest subject for me to talk about, because there are some things that I intend to do in law enforcement. So I'm kind of torn between speaking my mind and you know, I'm a little bit torn between speaking my mind and then, you know, because I do know some people who are in law enforcement who I have a great, enormous amount of respect for. And one of the things about this, these acts that take place, you know, we can't like just blame. We can't just label all police officers as racist. You know, we can't do that. Now, everybody, I'm sure some of you have seen and so the images are, you know, are heartbreaking. When I saw, I'm looking at the picture right now of Keith Lamont Scott on the ground, who appeared not to have a gun. Philando Castile was the one that really, 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 I mean, I was teary-eyed when I saw Philando Castile in the front seat of that car with four bullets in his chest, and he really didn't do anything. And, you know, I was heartbroken watching that video, you know. But you see, people, you know, what people have to understand, that all police officers are not, you know, racist killers. They're not, you know, because, again, there's bad doctors, there's bad lawyers, there's bad judges, there's bad in every profession. Now imagine the world without any cops. You know, it would be like the movie The Purge. You know, you'd have to batten down your hatches and stand by the door with a gun. So imagine a world without police officers. So I'm here to say that, you know, what happened was wrong, absolutely wrong. It shouldn't have happened. You know, it just shouldn't have happened. But all police officers are not killers. You know, I know some who are stand-up guys who obey the law, who wouldn't dare do anything like that. You know, there's an element of the police department that takes these kind of actions. There's an element. It doesn't mean they're all bad. It's just an element of the police department who does these type of things. But this here, now, I noticed first of all, the officer who shot Scott, or Mr. Scott, was not wearing a body camera. Now, my contention is, why have cameras if A, you don't have to wear it all the time? I mean, why give it to them if they don't have to wear them all the time? And B, if they can turn them off or on? Because there's been some instances where the police officers did not have their cameras on. And here's North Carolina now, who's the law. As a matter of fact, the law is taking place on Sunday. There's going to be a law that says that police officers, not police officers, but that video, dash cam video and body cam video will not be released to the public. You know, it's not going to be subject to any truth in, you know, any kind of ACLU lawsuits or anything like that. So on October 1st in North Carolina, police dash cam video and body cam video will not be available to the public, no longer be available to the public, which I think is, you know, see, these type of things, you know, these type of things are what raises suspicion, basically. These type of things raise suspicion, because why would you want to have a law that says that people can't see police body cam or dash cam video? Why would you want to have a law that says that? You know, well, that's the bad news. But in California now, Governor Jerry Brown just signed into law an order that says that that they don't use grand juries for police involved shootings anymore, which I think is a good thing. Because the people who – you can't trust the people who are on the grand jury. They may have a bias. I mean, people can go on the jury and say, oh, I don't have any biases, and they can be a Klan member. But you don't know. It's not written across their forehead. Or they can have they can know police officers, or they can have police officers in their family, et cetera, et cetera. And see, this is what happens, is sometimes the people will know Bill – the case, because they're related to police officers. So Jerry Brown has signed into law the bill that says that they won't use them anymore for police involved shootings, which I think is a good thing. But you know, again, this all police officers are not bad, but this, there's something about this case that disturbs me, because there's in the video that the wife took, right by, let me put it like this, there's a still photo that shows a gun on the ground near where Keith Lamont's feet are once he hit the ground after the bullets hit him. And then the still photo shows there's a gun on the ground. Now, the cell phone video that the wife took immediately after the shooting, there's no gun there. So that's, you know, there's something, I'm not saying that there's something, you know, I'm not saying that there's, because neither video shows the gun, the video doesn't show there's a gun in his hand, and the cell phone video doesn't show it, the Charlotte police video doesn't show it, and the only gun you see is the one on the ground that was taken. The picture was taken on the 24th by the CSI, whoever came over to the scene. So, you know, these things are really, you know, these things are tragic. And, you know, I don't think I should have to tell my son to, you know, how to act around police, because it should be universal. Black people shouldn't have special instructions to be around the police. I mean, that to me, that doesn't make any sense. Well, oh, because you're black, you have to take special precaution. You know, that shouldn't happen. And also training, you can't train somebody how not to hate. You can't train somebody how not to like a certain person, you know, because what's in you is in you, and you can't retrain a police officer to not hate. Because if they don't like a certain ethnic group, training is not going to do anything. Well, it needs to take place as accountability. Now, I have aspirations of joining law enforcement, and you know, but I think that training does not help the situation. Accountability is the only thing that's going to flip this thing around. There's got to be some accountability. It can't be, you know, training. Because how can you train? I mean, if I like sweet potato pie, you can't train me not to like it. You know, there's no training that's going to make me not like sweet potato pie, you know. And I know that's a poor analogy, but if somebody doesn't like Muslims, for example, you can't train them not to like Muslims. Only thing you can tell them is that if you do something to that person, you can train them to know that if they do something to that person, there's going to be some consequences. You can train them for that. But you can't train somebody. You can't train someone who doesn't like a certain ethnic group. You can't train them not to like that ethnic group. So the training is nonsense to me, as far as I'm concerned. But, you know, these shootings have to stop, you know. To say you know, hey, there's different ways, you know, when, what scares one person doesn't necessarily scare somebody else. There's different things that scare different people. And when police officers say they were in fear for their lives, it's too broad a statement. Because how do you know the person was in fear? Maybe they weren't in fear. So it's too broad a statement to say that police officers, that they can just say I was in fear of my life and that, you know, boom, okay, fine. Are you in fear of your life? Okay, you get a walk. You know, that's not good. So some things need to take place. Some change needs to take place. Some accountability needs to take place. So our people can stop being killed now, because you have the, you know, you have the Black Lives Matter, then you have the counter to that, which is All Lives Matter, Blue Lives Matter. You know, black people kill each other more than other black people, more than, you know, the police, which is true. That's absolutely 100% true. Black people do kill themselves, kill each other more than the police ever could, you know. And see, the problem with this is now, you know, as a black man, there are neighborhoods that I'm afraid to go into. Black neighborhoods where people who look like me, and I'm afraid to go through them. I had a convertible at one time, and, you know, when I went to certain towns in Essex County, for example, I would put the top up. You know, I was kind of concerned about riding around with the top down. But when I'm riding in a white neighborhood like where I live now in Montclair, I just, you know, I'm relaxed, I'm comfortable, I'm cool. But when I go into the black neighborhood, my spider senses are tingling. And I'm around my own people. It doesn't make any sense. So, you know, we got a two-headed monster here. We got the police, some police, not all, some police who are shooting African-Americans. And then we have African-Americans that are shooting African-Americans, you know. And so we got a two-headed monster here. Now, I mean, it'd be nice if you know, this – we talk about the Willie Lynch thing and all of this type of stuff, and black folks were trained to hate each other back in the slavery days. And I'm so sick of hearing about that. I mean, I know that I've read the book, The Willie Lynch Syndrome. I've read it. I understand it. But, again, we have to stop making these excuses. But I just wanted to say that all police officers are not bad. There are some very good police officers, some who I hold in very high regard, who have helped me not get out of trouble, but who have helped me. And I know some good guys on the police department. You know, shout out to Chief McCrary from the Passaic County Sheriff's Department, who's a very good friend of mine, very supportive, very nice, God-fearing man, goes to church every Sunday. And and you know, somebody who I hold in very, very high regard. Shout out to you, Chief, if you're still watching the program. The telephone number to the show, Mark, is we're almost out of here. We got about 2 minutes left. I've been running my mouth. I got about 90 seconds left. All right, everybody, check it out. We'll be back tomorrow night at 7 p.m. for the Ron Kelly Show. Once again, we'll pick up on some of this stuff, and you guys can call into the program because it's your show. So you can call into the program, and you can call into the show, and you can talk about whatever you want to talk about. All right, you can do that. So we're gonna break out of here. It's about 7:58. Man, I'm just going on and on and on and on and on. And there's about 60 seconds left to the program. So I want to thank you, everybody, for listening to the show. Thank you for engaging me on Twitter and on Facebook. And we'll talk to you guys tomorrow night for another edition of the Ron Kelly Show. So until then, take care of yourself, everybody. Remember, it's nice to be important, but it's more important to be nice. And we may not have it all together, but together we can certainly have it all. Thank you so much. I am out of here.